I am here with Mr. Peter Beardsley, the Pete, if you will. Pete. You are the organist and is it music director for the Christ Church Cathedral here in Springfield?
That's right, the Episcopal Cathedral in Springfield.
Very cool. And you are also very familiar with the organ in this building.
I am indeed. I'm more or less the regular staff organist here.
Very cool. How long have you been working with the Dickinson Streeter Funeral Home?
33 years.
Ooh. So, and the organ's been here even longer than
Much longer than that. I don't know its installation date, but it's pretty old.
Yeah.
It probably says on the console. When we go out to the console, we'll have a look.
Yeah, yeah. The opus list said 1919.
That's certainly about right.
But, yeah. I've had some issues with the opus list. Yeah, really, just that. Cool. So, how long have you... So, 33 years with this organ. When did you start playing the organ?
Oh, let's see. I played my first... The first time I played the organ was actually in public. I was 11 years old, and the rector of the little country church where I played... the organist was sick one morning is what happened. And he looked out in the congregation, and he knew that several of us took piano lessons, and his gaze rested on me, and he said, come up here and play the hymns. So I went up there and played the hymns, and I've been playing since.
That's really cool. That's really cool. So, and you also, I've heard, know a thing or two about repairing organs.
Yes, I was in business as an organ repairman and tuner for 5 years before I came to this job, and I still take care of the cathedral organ, which is a large Austin.
Ooh.
I do the tuning and maintenance on it myself.
Okay, so is the organ here is much smaller?
Much smaller.
A little simpler?
A little simpler, yes, although this organ has its complications.
When an organ starts breaking down, what usually is it that needs to get repaired?
Well, I mentioned earlier that in these electric action organs, when you press a key, you close a switch. And ultimately what happens is that a little leather bellows, if you will, collapses. And it's when that leather bellow collapses by the... This is very hard to do on the radio. The wind chest is full of air pressure. Once you turn the organ on, the air pressure in the wind chest under the pipes is, of course, higher than the outside, the atmospheric pressure. When you press a key, the little leather bellows is suddenly admitted to the outside pressure, which is lower, and so it collapses by the pressure inside the chest. And that yanks the valve away from the hole, which admits air to the pipe. Those leather bellows are what give way, especially in our current situation with air pollution, the nitrous oxides and diesel exhaust and so forth. The particulates and the acid in our modern air are very rough on these cured leathers. This is a thing I know of. I played an organ in Pittsfield, where air pollution is not so bad. That organ was built in 1927, and the leather is still okay. It's working. It's had a few blow, but mostly it's still working. And that's, what, 80 years? On the other hand, in New York City and in Washington, D.C., pipe organs that are in heavy use have to be re-leathered every 3 to 5 years. That's how bad the air pollution is.
Wow.
Because think of diesel exhaust. You know, the diesel exhaust has particulate matter in it. That stuff gets into the grain of the leather and just wears it away internally. Think of an old leather shoe that you have. Mm-hmm. If you keep it clean, it lasts longer. And the reason is that a dirty shoe gets sand, very fine-grained sand, right into the grain of the leather and wears it away internally. And that's what's happening with these big pipe organs. There's also the fact that pipe organs often, mostly, are installed in churches which tend to be large acoustical spaces. And so an organ interacts, the organ as we know it, as we're used to hearing it, is a part of the acoustical space that it's in a way that other instruments aren't. What can you say about a violin and its acoustical space? Because you can carry it with you, and sometimes you hear it in a living room, and sometimes you hear it as part of an orchestra. The organ nearly always is in a space which defines the way the organ sounds by the acoustics. It can be good or bad. The acoustics here in the funeral home, obviously, this organ was not built as a recital instrument, a concert instrument. It was built to be soothing, if you will, and comforting. And so this organ is, on the whole, mild in the way it's voiced. And it's not overly powerful, but it's appropriate to its use. It's very appropriate to this space. The organ across the street in the Catholic Cathedral, whose doors I can see as I'm sitting here, or the organ in the Episcopal Cathedral where I play, these are in big acoustical spaces with 3 or 4 seconds of reverberation, and the organ just sings down the length of the building in a very exciting way.